you looking for a forum where you can discuss ACB Radio programming with presenters and fellow listeners? Then you may want to subscribe to ACB Radio Friends. It offers all of the same announcement material you'd receive on our ACB Radio announcements list, but in addition, it permits discussion with ACB Radio staff and listeners. To join, send a message to majordomo@telepath.com with subscribe ACB Radio-Friends in the body of the message. That's majordomo@telepath.com with subscribe ACB Radio-Friends in the body of your message. Keep in touch with ACB Radio, the station that's out of science. Hi, this is Jonathan Mosen, welcoming you to another edition of Blind Line, the interactive talk show here on ACB Radio Mainstream. And if you're listening to this program live, apologies for the late start. If you're not listening to this live, well, that's something you didn't have to suffer. Of course, the live listeners do have the added advantage of being able to call in and talk to our guest or on the open forum part of the program. If you wish to do that, to converse with our guest, who I'll introduce you to shortly, or to perhaps make a note of the number, it is in your title bar of your window. And if you can't make head or tail of that, it is in New York, 212-812-2800. That's 212-812-2800. And when asked to enter the PIN, courtesy of spiderphone.com, the magic numbers to enter are 0480-5512. That PIN again is 0480-5512. Well, I was reminded when I was putting this program together of the old Glen Campbell song about the Wichita lineman, and we've got lines of a different sort to talk about today, because it is Wichita, but it's not power lines, it's phone lines, and the way that material can be delivered down the telephone in an accessible and fairly immediate form as well through the telephone reading system that they have in Wichita, Kansas. And somebody who can tell us all about that and a lot of other things broadcasting related as well is our guest on Blind Line this week, Steve Bauer. Welcome to you, nice to have you on the show.
Good evening, Jonathan.
Yeah, well, it's nice to know that as a fellow broadcaster, you can sort of at least grit your teeth in sympathy while we sort out some of the gremlins that get in the internet works with this international talk show of ours.
Well, of course, it's always kind of frustrating when things don't exactly work right, but if it all worked perfectly, what would we complain about?
Well, exactly right. Yes, yes, it's a very sort of, that's a very fatalistic way of looking at it. It's the only way you can. You've had a background in broadcasting that goes back a wee way now to university, I believe.
Well, actually it does. When I was a senior in high school, I went to Wichita State University. And went on their campus radio station. It was a mighty 250-watt mono station at that time, and did a variety of music programs, and had a lot of fun with the transmitter. Whenever it rained, water ran down the coax, the SWR went up, and we went off the air. But the station grew, and I went into college at the university and got my degree from there. And in 1974, I left college radio, and I went to work for a local AM station here in Wichita. Some evening and weekend stuff first, moved into middays and then afternoon drive, and we did a country music format. And at that time, we took the top 40 approach to country music. We had Hot Stinger jingles, and not very much hogs and pigs and cows and stuff like that. We pretty well just played music and did a pretty good job of running a really tight format. But as you know, with radio, things never stay the same. The owners were greedy, and they started making cuts and destroyed the station after about 4 years.
Yeah, it's always the way.
So that ended my full-time broadcast career, and then I went to work for a bank, which is quite a change, did a variety of jobs. In fact, I'm still working for that same bank. And in about 1989, they were looking for someone to deal with a, quote, technical problem of the phone system. And they looked at me, and I was a sucker, and decided I'd help them out. And I wound up being moved and promoted into the telecommunication manager position. And so today that is evolved into me administering approximately 2,000 phone lines, about 110 T1s. We have nearly 50 locations across Kansas and in Oklahoma, and it's quite a challenge to keep that whole system up and running.
That must be. Just before we go on with the interview, a technical note to listeners that I'm aware that there is some software speech coming over the stream at the moment due to the fact that we had to reboot and get back on the air quickly. And if people can just bear with a little bit more software speech, I will do the necessary changes to stop that from happening. And my sincere apologies. It won't be happening much longer because we'll be in the new studio soon. So, you still involved in commercial radio to some extent now then?
I am just a little bit, Jonathan. In fact, it was in 1989, a good friend of mine was news director for one of the stations here in town. In fact, he had worked at the station that I had been working at, and he needed somebody to assist in helping put on the air bulletins about severe weather. Being a ham radio operator, which I have had my ham license since 1972, it just seemed like a natural fit. And I've managed to continue to do this work with this group of stations, which has now started at 1, and it went to 2, and then it slowly increased. Now it's at 7. And I do, whenever the severe weather gets in the area, I do on-air bulletins that go now on all 7 stations. And if we get into a real severe situation where tornadoes are a threat or very, very heavy thunderstorms, we're going to continuous weather coverage. And I am effectively the anchor during that function. And it's quite a challenge. With severe weather, you know, it can come at any time of the day or night. And even if it comes at 1 or 2 in the morning and I'm on the air for a while, I still have to get up and go to my regular job. So the spring and summer months are a bit of a challenge, but it's all worth it, I guess.
Well, speaking of challenges, what are the access ramifications of doing that weather stuff, the fact that obviously there could be information coming in from all over the place that you have to...
Right now, the biggest drawback is not having access to radar. Fortunately, my wife is sighted, and I lean on her quite heavily to continually update me on the radar as to what it's showing. But between the ham radio people that are at the Weather Bureau that are continually providing the hams out across the county that are providing the, they call it Skywarn, which is where they're basically you're watching the skies and feeding the Weather Bureau with information, and the NOAA weather radio and the internet and everything else I can get my hands on, plus the radar tips from my wife, I just put it all together, and it's quite interesting.
Yeah. I think that a few years ago when I was particularly interested in broadcasting automation software, I think I recall it was you I got a letter from saying that you were using some of that new stuff, such as the Wizard, the Prophet system. Was that was right, wasn't it? You were using that?
No, I don't believe that was me. But there is a lot of new equipment out there that radio stations are using, automation, you know, computer-based systems that are actually running some of these radio stations. And I could probably do an entire show on my feelings about that, but that's a whole other topic. But unfortunately, all of these systems require you to use PC Anywhere because to link in and make changes. The radio station would love me to be able just to call in, send a WAV file, and actually program my updates to go on the stations without having to bother them to do it. But unfortunately, it's not capable yet to work with PC Anywhere to accomplish such a task.
Yeah, it's really interesting that there are so many people who have tremendous competence in broadcasting who are actually being shut out by the inaccessibility of some of these automation packages, which I suppose of necessity hook themselves in at such a low level of the operating system that often screen readers just can't get anywhere with them.
No, I mean, when I was in radio, we had big turntables and a big old board and big knobs for mixing, and you could actually run it without vision, and it was easy to run. But today, it is a major challenge to walk into the studio and to accomplish an on-air position with the computer technology that's out there.
So tell us a little bit about the telephone reading system that you're responsible for, because I was really intrigued when I heard from you at the ACB convention, and we, while things were going with the internet connection, we had an email going right into the main ballroom where everything was happening, and you were saying that you were able to put material from the convention while things were holding up there straight on to the information service for people to listen to, and it made me realize that what you're doing is a lot more ambitious than just the regular reading of newspapers and everything. You're taking things to an exciting level.
Well, one of the things that intrigued me about telephone reading services, and I first was introduced to one back in the early 90s, and the idea kept going around the back of my head, and finally, in 1995, I had to sit down and make a very serious decision, because like you, I was very involved in the local Association for the Visually Handicapped and the Kansas Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, etc. And in order to do the Telephone Reader Project, I had to make a decision. Either I was going to attempt to try and do it and keep up with everything else, or I would need to step back and do Telephone Reader and do it right. And I'm a very meticulous person. I don't take on a project unless I can do it right. So I decided to step back and just form an entirely new organization that is not affiliated with anyone, so no one can accuse us of impartiality or any favoritism. So we formed a new organization and began looking at the different systems that were available, and after considerable research decided to go with what a lot of people refer to as the Kansas system. Telephone Reader is a product that is provided and written by a gentleman who is at the University of Kansas named Steve Kincaid. And he is very innovative in his thought process and the way he does things and open to ideas. And after evaluating his system, we went out, got grant money, put it together, and after about 4 months of testing, we launched it live. Today we have about 450 people that are signed up for the service. I have local telephone numbers in 8 cities and a toll-free number that will provide access to the system from anywhere in the 316 area code, which is the southern half of the state of Kansas. So we started out slowly and we are continuing to grow. Now what makes Telephone Reader, in my opinion, so exciting is that it gives you, the user, the opportunity to read the newspaper or the other publications that are available on the service when it's convenient for you. I've been involved with radio reading services for many years. In fact, I was on the board of the Wichita Radio Reading Service for several years. And that's a very valuable service. But if you work or are busy and doing things, you're not always going to be there by the radio when the newspaper is read. Plus, invariably, there's not enough time for a live reader to read everything, and it just burned me up when you'd be listening to an article that you really found interesting, and the reader says, well, that's all we have time for that one. Or they'll say, well, you pretty well know the rest of that. We'll go to the next one. I don't want anyone telling me that. I want to be able to read an article, and if I want to read it 10 times, I want to be able to do it. And this is where Telephone Reader steps in and fills the void where the radio reading service can't quite meet that goal.
And if you have any questions, questions for Steve, you're welcome to call in at any time. The number in New York, 212-812-2800. That's 212-812-2800. And enter the PIN 0480-5512. Thanks to spiderphone.com for providing that. 0480-5512. Sorry, Steve, you were saying?
On our telephone reader service, we are at the point now where we are very cautious on offering additional publications. Basically, it's myself and another gentleman who is blind, and he's a computer programmer. We are the ones that actually run the service, although there is a board of directors, about 7 people that comprise that body. But we offer, of course, the Wichita Eagle, which is our local newspaper. It's on 7 days a week. We offer other publications such as the Wichita Business Journal, which is a weekly publication. We do TV listings. We do USA Today, U.S. News and World Report, Parade Magazine, the Braille Forum, the Braille Monitor. We put ACB reports on there. And let me get back to your ACB convention question. During the convention, I was able to record several of the sessions. And by using more than one recorder, record one, and then when it was finished, put another tape in, and then start feeding the audio on the 2-hour system, therefore providing the ability for people who do not have internet access to hear convention sessions the same day that they happen, just slightly delayed. And we have quite a bit of audio from this year's convention on our telephone reader service, and it will remain on there until next summer, when we'll do it all again. And this is one of the reasons why I really like this particular software package, is because it gives us the flexibility on a moment's notice to put something special on. When the FCC adopted the regulations on descriptive video service in July, we recorded that and put that on the very same day so our people could hear it. So it's more than just a newspaper. What I like to say is Telephone Reader is your total information and news source, and it's just a touch away.
That's excellent. I understand you have a bit of a demo that you can take us through.
I do. I'll quickly tell you what happens on the service, because the demo moves rather quickly because I didn't want it to be very long. Every user must sign an application. That application verifies that they are print handicapped. That means blind, visually impaired, or unable to read print for some other reason. Once we have that on file, we send to that user a user ID and a security code and all of the information in either Braille, large print, or cassette tape so they can fully understand how to operate the system. The system is easy enough to use. You don't even need the instructional material, but we send it out anyway. Once you get into the system, you hear a main menu. You select the publication you want. Within each publication, we have categories or sections. You choose the section you want, and then the system begins to play you the articles. So here is a very short demo as to what we call it the Air Capital Telephone Reader, because Wichita is known as the Air Capital City because we have four major aircraft manufacturing facilities here. So here comes the demo as the system will sound like should you call in and listen to it. And I have edited out the touch tones that would be heard so they won't be so obnoxious to you.
This is the Air Capital Telephone Reader. Enter your codes at any time. Telephone Reader is a service of the Information Access Association and is made possible with contributions from Intrust Bank, Envision.
Following the introductory material, users are asked to enter a 4-digit user ID followed by a 4-digit security code. Once those are entered, they hear the main menu.
Today is Wednesday, October 25th. For the Wichita Eagle, press 1. For the Wichita Business Journal, press 2. For TV listings, press 3. For the leisure reading section, press 4. For USA Today, press 5. And for the news desk, press 9.
So we'll go ahead and select USA Today.
Online articles are from the Wednesday issue of USA Today. Enter your 2-digit category number now. If you don't know the category number you want, here's a complete list. USA Today categories: 10, the news section; 11, news from around the nation; 12, money; 13, sports; 14, life; 15, state lottery results.
Now you can select the category that you want to listen to. Once you select that category, the system will tell you how many articles are in the category and then begin playing them.
The news section, 42 articles in this category.
Article 1, 8 minutes. Skepticism voiced as USA goes into black voters question how long surpluses will last. By Mark Mamet, USA Today.
You can move through several reading speeds. We'll go to the fastest speed, which is approximately 350 words a minute. The system also allows you to use volunteer readers as well.
Disability News, 8 articles in this category.
This is Disability News Scan for October 20th. A collection of articles from newspapers and magazines about disability-related issues and people. The category updates on Fridays each week. Your reader is Marie.
We try to do some special things on Telephone Reader, such as offering audio from the ACB convention.
This is even about my height, too. Thank you, Brian, and you don't know how much it means to have you make so much effort to pronounce my name correctly. We really appreciate that.
From time to time, the synthesizer, oh, perfect Paul, can make some things sound pretty funny. You may have heard about the Koch family and their squabbles about their billions of dollars. One of the articles that was published in the Wichita Eagle by a columnist named Bob Goetz has some pretty interesting sounds when played at the fast speed of about 350 words by perfect Paul.
Much of the Bill Morris, a distinguished lawyer, white-haired investment banker who represents the Koch Industries in 1983, testified in the classy contemporary courtroom. Mr. blah 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 1982 blah 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 0235 blah blah 1983 blah 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 capacity blah blah 1000 square feet blah 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 objections blah blah rules blah 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 $16 million blah blah nothing further your honor.
And then there is the almost unpronounceable lake name.
By Rudy Simon, Associated Press, Webster, Massachusetts, its blue waters and sparkling shoreline have been attracting vacationers for generations, but it's the sheer length of its name that has put Lake Sarkatikakmanchukikanchukminikanjimok on the map. The Indian name is so long that it's...
And that is basically a quick run-through of what the Air Capital telephone reader sounds like.
That's excellent. So, you're using a couple of technologies that I have heard being used in some services before, but not on the same service. You've got the ability to do the digitized speech, which presumably means you get past the raw data and you convert it at your end, or you can have human readers, so you've really got the best of both worlds there.
And we can actually mix them within each publication. So, for example, if certain articles were only available via text, and others had to be read by volunteers, we could actually mix and match those within a publication. We're not limited to just one. One other little thing that I always like to tell people about that I'm kind of proud of, although it's something you don't want to brag too much to the publishers about, is that in some cases, we are able to offer publications to our users before they are available to sighted people. For example, the Wichita Eagle newspaper, generally that newspaper is online and available to read very early in the morning, sometimes as early as 1:30 or 2 a.m. Papers are not delivered to people's houses until 5 or 6 a.m. So in some cases, if you wake up early, you can have the paper read before your spouse or your neighbors even get the paper.
When I talk to rehab professionals and people who, of course, know all there is to know about blindness, they often make the comment that these services are okay for the young and agile blind, but that the elderly blind, who make up the majority, get lost in these telephone-based systems with so many buttons to press and numbers to remember. What's your response to that?
The response would be very easy. Yes and no. There are those elderly people that will try the system, they hear the synthetic speech, and after just a few seconds, they hang up the phone and say, I can't understand that, and they never try it again. There are other persons that are in senior citizen category that are our top users, and they use it an average of an hour or more a day. So it just depends on the person. If they want to use it and they're willing to take time to learn it, it's not going to be a problem. The system is very user-friendly. Once you learn which categories you want to listen to, you don't need to listen to the menus. You just touch tone through them, and the system takes over and plays the information for you.
You mentioned the relative merits of this system against radio reading services, etc. What are the relations like between your organization and the local radio reading service?
Sadly, they are very cold. The local radio reading service feels that we are a threat to them, and we have extended the olive branch on several occasions to try to work with them, thinking we could share some resources, whether that be programming material or volunteer readers, etc. But they choose not to work with us. We're a little bit unusual because we're not affiliated with the university, with an organization, with another radio reading service. We're on our own, and so that makes us in a bit of a unique position. But nonetheless, we still continue to promote their service. We send people to that service that we feel would benefit from it and do what we can to promote it, irregardless of what they do for or against us.
I suppose there are similarities between what you are doing and what the National Federation of the Blind is doing with its Newsline service. Do you have a Newsline in your area? And if so, what are the relations like there?
No, there is not a NFB Newsline here in the area. We looked at that system and gave it some consideration, but decided that we wanted to have the flexibility to do innovative and different things, such as the convention audio and ACB reports, etc., and just did not want to have the restraint that would be placed on us from that system. The NFB system does offer a good amount of content, and does serve a good purpose, and in I believe it's in California, there are several cities where the NFB Newsline sits right next to the telephone reader service, and they both offer varying types of newspapers and publications and provide dual service in various communities.
How easy is it to recruit volunteers with the fluency, the kind of characteristics that you're seeking?
Recruiting volunteers is amazingly easy. My problem is, all of us who work for the telephone reader service here in Wichita, all of us have full-time jobs, so it's totally volunteer. I don't have the time to coordinate, train, and just manage a group of volunteers. Fortunately, almost all of my volunteers work at the same bank where I work at, and therefore I'm able to kind of keep my finger on things and catch up with them easily and work with them and keep track of what's going on and manage them. So I'm a little bit different than a lot of people when it comes to volunteers. I don't want any. I've got enough, and I'm not seeking them because I just don't have time to manage them. Plus, the other thing, as you well know, when you're using synthetic speech, I can cover more ground in listening to the newspaper or other publications with perfect Paul than I can a reader, because I can go faster.
It's incredible, isn't it, that when you look at the history of speech synthesis, deck talk really is quite old technology now, and yet people come back to it for these sorts of applications. With the software that you eventually chose to go with for this project, did you have any alternative and decided on deck talk after auditioning speech, or how did that work?
Actually, it was recommended by the programmer who built the system. He said it would be the best one to go with at the time we entered into this project. And we're continually looking for other modes of speech that would improve it, be more of a human voice, but we're not quite there yet as far as what is available. And I believe that the next release of software is supposed to be SAPI compliant, and that will open up a whole new door of opportunity.
I suppose the nearest contender to deck talk for natural sounding speech that I'm aware of, and all of these things are arguable, of course, is the Learn Out and House Be Real Speak, the Jennifer voice. And I know that there are some animated webcasts where they're using, particularly in Britain, with a kind of a psychedelic looking woman reading the news, and they're using that voice. But I suppose that blind people are a bit more discerning, aren't they, because they want to have a lot of control over speech rate, and in that regard deck talk still retains its clarity while being able to be cranked up way up.
Well, that's true, and the one thing that we are continually working on is the exception dictionary, making sure that certain words are pronounced correctly. We're never going to be perfect. We're not even going to try to get there, but we're going to try our best to catch words and to attempt to make them more natural in the way they are pronounced. And it's something that we're continually working on. We hear a word or two, and we'll make note of it and attempt to correct it in the dictionary so it's spoken correctly on our telephone reader service.
And news stories would be the most difficult of all to get that right, I imagine, because you have people's names from all around the world and place names, and some place that no one's ever heard of today could be the top story tomorrow.
Exactly, and there's just no way to get them all completely correct. We try the best we can, and just let it go. People basically accept it and understand that it can't be perfect, and we'll just work our best on trying to make it sound as natural as possible. Some of the little things we do on our system, in addition to trying to make the words natural, is, you may recall in the demo, it said it was from the Wednesday edition of USA Today. When a sighted person picks up a publication, a newspaper, they immediately know what issue it is, what edition it is, what date it was published. We try to give that same information on every publication in one way or another. Additionally, tell you how many articles are in the category. Every article starts off with Article 1 or Article 2, whatever the case may be, so you know where you are in the category. And then we give you an estimated reading time based on 250 words a minute. As a sighted person looks at a publication, if they see an article about President Clinton, that's just a little tiny square, versus one about him, that's a whole page and a half, and they're in a hurry, they're going to read the little tiny square. They're going to skip the long one. We give our readers the ability to do that very same thing.
That's a really innovative idea, actually, to have an approximate listening time. We're speaking with Steve Bauer, by the way, if you've just joined us, talking about the telephone reader in Wichita, Kansas, and if you'd like to get in touch, the number to talk to Steve live, and if you listen to this program between 9 and 11 Eastern, 6 and 8 Pacific, that's 1 till 3 Universal Time on Thursday morning, then it's live, and you can call into area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800. Then enter the PIN 0480-5512. We thank Spiderphone.com for their assistance. 0480-5512, that PIN number. Are you donor-funded, charitable giving? Is that what keeps it going?
Exactly. We are what is called a 501c3 organization, a nonprofit. We operate on corporate contributions and grants when we can get them. The biggest problem is if you go into a project with a specific goal in mind, a certain list of equipment or a certain project or function, generally with work you can find grants that will cover it. But to obtain operating expenses, just general day-to-day operating expenses, is absolutely a killer. It's very, very difficult. So fundraising is something that I absolutely hate. It's, to me, it's just a drag. It's a drain on my energy. But unfortunately, it takes up a considerable amount of time to try and get enough money to come in every year to keep this service up and operating. We do not charge for the service. We will not charge for the service. If a reader or a user wants to make a contribution, that's perfectly fine. We don't request it. We don't ask for it, but if they want to and they contact us, we'll let them do that. So fundraising is just another little, downside to operating the service. I wish I had somebody that I could turn over all the fundraising to and then let them worry about it, and I get back to the fun stuff of operating the service and updating publications and that type of thing.
Do you have a limit in terms of geography as to who you accept? For instance, if I'm here in New Zealand and I want to call into your service with MSN Messenger and listen to it, do you accept people from that far afield?
We have no geographical limitation as far as our service is concerned. If you're not served by a local number in one of the 8 cities or within the 316 area code for our toll-free number, then the long-distance bill is on you, and that, if you want to call and listen, that's just fine with us.
I guess telephone lines would be a big component of your ongoing monthly costs. How many do you have to keep everybody reasonably able to access the service at any time?
We have 8 phone lines currently going into our system. And just to give you an idea, if I can find the correct page here, of statistics from the month of September. During the month of September, line 1 took 804 calls, and it goes down from there to line 6, which took 2. So, based on the average call being approximately 22 minutes in length, at this time, our 8 lines are giving us more capacity than we need, and we feel pretty good about that. Mm. We're just over... over-trumped, if you will, as far as what we need right now. We could actually operate on 4 lines if we had to.
But it's nice to know, isn't it, that people can call in relatively assured of not getting a busy signal.
Exactly, and that's when I plan the system out. Of course, that's one of the little elements that I do in my job, is look at trunking and different issues on much larger phone systems. I didn't want to worry about it, and I had the money from the original grant, and we went with full 8 lines, even though today, 3 years plus into the service, we really don't need 8 lines. We've got them there to handle growth, and then we're hoping that someday we'll fill them up and need to add more.
I was hoping somebody might have phoned in and asked you this question, but since they haven't yet, I'll ask it. In terms of disk space, how about some of the ACB radio programming appearing on the service?
Disk space is not really much of a problem. We've got a 2 gig hard drive, which I know is small, but when we purchased the most recent server that we're using, which is a Pentium 2 450 megahertz with 256 mega RAM. That's what it came with. The biggest problem right now is just getting the files into a format that the telephone reader service will play. We can take a WAV file and convert it to what is called a telephone reader voice file, or a TRV file, as it's so commonly referred to. The downside to that is that the audio quality begins to diminish quite significantly, and being a radio guy, I'm concerned about that. So I don't really convert WAV files very often. In future upgrades to the system, we replace the dialogic cards that we're using. I think that's what they are. Mm. Then we will possibly be able to play other file formats directly, such as play WAV files direct without having to convert them. I don't know the future of MP3, whether that's going to be available or not, but if we were to get to a point where we had the ability to play files of the appropriate format and had good internet connection at high speed, we could grab those audio files, you bet. This space really is not a problem.
So is this system actually designed specifically for telephone reading services for the blind?
Yes, it is. And in fact, what I did for the bank that I work at, because of a need to have a employment hotline where people could call in and listen to the availability of jobs that are open, I actually bought a telephone reader service, the bare bones one without the text-to-speech, for this job hotline function, and it's working quite well.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually, because it's something that here in New Zealand we've been toying with for a wee while, setting up a service like the one that you're running. So it's good to know that you can actually buy a package and have it going on any standard PC, and I presume that accessibility wise it's easy for a blind person to maintain.
Right, it runs on Windows NT, and we use a little Lantastic network. We have a couple of other computers networked in, and the computer that is what I will call the admin computer, where we log on and add people to the system or remove them and update publications and do things, it right now is running DOS. We're not even running in Windows on it.
My goodness. What do you think the impact will be of some of these new services that are coming to market, the most famous of which, I guess, would be TellMe, but there are a number of other of these voice portals out there now. This technology seems to be going mainstream at last.
It is indeed, but it's not going to yet give the people the volume of content that they have now with a telephone reader service. It's not going to give you the full newspaper. Of course, we can't even offer the full newspaper, but we offer a pretty good chunk of it. The services like that are geared for more current news and information, more of a broadcast service, where the telephone reader gets back to that standard newspaper or other publication that is available, more detailed, more extensive reports. It's interesting. With TellMe, for example, you would not be able to go and listen to the entire text of the Gore-Bush debates. But on telephone reader, since it was in the paper, it was there. And you'd save a lot of time if you listened to the debates on telephone reader. They went a little over 90 minutes on live television. On telephone reader, they were about 60 minutes. And, of course, you could speed that up and even cut it way back further. So I think services, the portals like TellMe, are going to serve a really vital role. They're going to provide a lot of information, but I don't think they're going to be able to touch the quantity of information that will be available on a telephone reading service. As far as the future goes, that's hard to say. I'm really feeling that, and who knows what time limit it will really be. I'm saying within 10 to 15 years, we won't need a radio reading service. We won't need a telephone reading service. Everything will be accessible via the internet, either through some type of a phone connection or a handheld device or something. And so longevity-wise, we're not looking to be in business for the rest of the world. I mean, you know, as far as the world is here, we're looking to be here for another 10, maybe 15 years, and then to be replaced with new and exciting technology, some of which we probably don't even know about yet.
Mm. Well, who'd have thought even 15 years ago that the internet was going to go into the mass market like it has? In those days, it was a very elitist, academic type or military type structure.
Nobody knew.
Nice.
The one point I want to make before I forget it, about the telephone reader service is that there's a big effort from the National Federation of the Blind to get the Newsline systems out in many cities, and they have done a phenomenal job of doing that. But people need to be aware there is an alternative to that service, contrary to what a lot of people have been told. And just to give you an idea, right now, there are telephone reader services, the same software we're running in Lawrence, Kansas at the University of Kansas, here in Wichita. There's one in New Jersey, Washington, D.C., Little Rock, Arkansas, Sacramento, California. Los Angeles, California goes online next month. Connecticut, Roanoke, Virginia, Rapid City, South Dakota. There are four systems in Ohio that are all tied together via toll-free numbers for anywhere in the state, and Louisville, Kentucky. So they're all out there, and if you want to learn more about the telephone reader system, the software, what it's all about, I'll give you a web page you can go to. It's really easy to remember, www.telephonereader.com. That's www.telephonereader.com.
Are you able to give us an indication as to price? Because I did quite a bit of research a couple of years ago into the Newsline software, and what was interesting about that, and it is good from a user's standpoint, it's a really nice responsive system, but it seemed to me that what happened was everything was controlled from a central point, namely in Baltimore, and you just got this big black box and plugged it in, and anything that you wanted to do that was local, well, you'd have to put it on Baltimore anyway, and they'd sort of controlled it and send it to you. The other issue was it was really quite expensive, so I'm interested in the contrast there.
Well, since I don't sell the product, I really can't quote you a price, but you know as well as I do that basic computers are not that expensive anymore. Depending on a variety of factors, whether you're a commercial business or a nonprofit, and where you're located, whether you're in Kansas or another state, will depend on the price. And if someone is really interested, then they really need to just contact the website that I just gave, telephonereader.com, and email the people that are involved, and they can give you current price quotes. I wish I could give you a quote, but I will tell you it is not nearly expensive as the NFB Newsline system. And the annual costs to actually run it are very low. I mean, there's the only cost you have are your phone lines, and if you have any paid staff, which we do not have in our service, it's all volunteer, that would be an expense. But the actual cost to operate the system is very low.
Well, that could be another main menu item to actually get the people who write the software on and have a chat to them on main menu. Before I forget this point, when we were talking about Tell Me a minute ago, one of the attractive things about that service, which you may well have considered for yours, is this comment I made earlier about the sequence of punching in numbers and how some people seem to have some difficulty with that. And the attractive thing about Tell Me is that you can talk to this thing and its ability to recognize a range of speech accents and speeds and things is quite remarkable. Do you see a day where people will, as an alternative, be able to talk to the telephone reader and say, read me the USA Today and go to the sports section?
I actually see that as a possibility, but there is a huge downside to it. One of the recommendations we make to people is that they use a speakerphone so you don't have to hold a telephone to your ear the entire time that you're reading the paper or whatever. Voice recognition or speech recognition over a speakerphone is not very good, and therefore, I don't think it will work very well at all. So, because of that issue alone, I'm not sure that the speech recognition is going to be a mode that would be very successful with telephone reader because of over the speakerphone, and I've just hardly ever hold the phone to my ear and listen. I always use a speakerphone.
Is there much information sharing that goes on between various telephone reader installations around the country?
It is beginning to grow. There is an FTP site, the telephone reader file sharing site. And we, from here in Wichita, we post the Wichita Eagle, which is on that site every morning. And that is placed also on the telephone reader service in Lawrence, Kansas. We also post the Braille Forum. We post ACB reports. And we also post the Disability News Scan, which is a weekly publication that is read by volunteers, which has articles about disability-related issues and people that are in the news. Those publications are available on the site from here. Now, Lawrence, they post a lot of files on there, such as discount store ads from well-known stores such as Walmart, Kmart, Target, etc. They post Parade Magazine, USA, I think is the name of the magazine. So there is beginning to be some sharing of files. The biggest problem is the voice files are so huge, unless you have a high-speed net connection, they can take many hours to download.
What about the copyright issues? With the U.S. Copyright Act that was passed a few years ago, I guess that makes things a little bit easier, does it?
It makes it extremely easy. Any work that is used for the purpose to be read or used by blind or visually impaired people, it does qualify under the U.S. copyright law, and we're fully legal in reproducing it in the medium over the telephone reader service. That's one of the reasons why we require the application, to make sure that all of the people that do access the service indeed are qualified to have access to that information because of blindness, visual impairment, or other handicaps that prevent them from reading print.
We're in the middle of our remaining moments with Steve Barron. If you'd like to, I see the listener count's quite high, so there's lots of people hanging on every word. And if you would like to ask a question, then you're listening between 9 and 11 Eastern, 6 and 8 Pacific. That's 1 till 3 in the morning, Universal Time on Thursday. Then the program is live, and you're welcome to call in. Of course, it's a free call from anywhere in the world, thanks to MSN Messenger and similar products. You can call in the US, area code 212-812-2800. That number again, area code 212-812-2800, and then when you're asked to enter a PIN, thanks to the good folk at spiderphone.com who let us use their facilities, the number is 048-05512. That number again, 048-05512. And we certainly appreciate the support of spiderphone.com. The volunteers who do the material in real time, as it were, Steve, do they have the ability to record in their own home, or do they go somewhere special to do that?
They can record from any telephone in the world. We provide them with a good high-quality telephone headset so that they have both hands free to handle the printed material, and they can record from their home at their convenience. It doesn't matter if they're in their nightgown or haven't got their makeup on or it's snowing outside. Whatever the case may be, they can do it when it's convenient for them to record. And That's also the other little plug we like to tell people, is you don't have to worry about your paper not being delivered because it's snowy or icy outside. It's going to be there anyway, unless the phone lines go down, and then we're all in trouble.
that's excellent. And how do you get on for quality control issues? Because obviously if people aren't there in a studio as such and there's nobody producing it, there may be a little bit of variation that creeps in terms of standards and quality.
There are some variations, and we attempt to work with the people to adjust the audio on the headsets to make sure everyone sounds as good as possible. I basically am erring on the side of I'd rather have the content there and maybe have it slightly less than perfect than not having it at all. Interesting story, one of our readers, and I should have put this on the demo tape, because it was so good. She was reading one of the articles in the Disability News Scan. Her two cats got in a fight, and they ran right across the table where she was. And you could hear them, you know, howling and screaming at each other and going across. This gal didn't miss a beat. She just kept reading. It was great. But we just let little things like that go by and just keep going.
Yeah, well, you know, those sorts of things add a little bit of spontaneity to things, don't they, anyway?
Exactly. I mean, we're not real serious in this whole project. I mean, we are serious, but yet, if funny things happen, we enjoy them. And some of the little Perfect Paul has had some real interesting phrases that he has come up with, certain abbreviations. One of the funnier ones when they were talking about the Pope celebrating Midnight Massachusetts.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Celebrating Midnight Mass.
Yes. We have problems with that here. You know, the other one is that every time it sees the word sun, spelled capital S-U-N,
oh,
it
yes.
says Sunday.
Yes.
And so, you know, we keep having articles about Sunday microsystems.
Right. And that's just one of the little glitches. I don't think we'll ever get rid of them.
Yes, I think it's synthesizers in recent years have become a bit too clever, and they've started interpreting what's on the screen instead of just reading what's on the screen and letting the brain do the interpreting.
The other little point I want to make before we move on, Jonathan, is that telephone readers are an interesting service in the fact that it's necessary to develop a habit. Newspapers, when you let your subscription lapse for a newspaper, you will be hounded by the marketing department. The reason being, they don't want you to lose the habit of reading the paper. For a person who is blind or visually impaired, we're sort of fighting a battle. Either they've never had the habit, or they lost it several years ago and they lost their sight. Now we have to teach them to get into the habit of reading the paper again. One of the things that I enjoy most is being able to get up early enough, and usually that's not a problem for me because I wake up early, get up in time to read the paper before I go to work, so I go on break, and I just love being able to tell the sighted people I work with about things that are in the paper that they have missed or couldn't find. And it's just, they cannot believe it, that I'm telling them about things that they've missed and they haven't been able to find in the paper. Or in some cases, I've read a particular publication before they've been able to get their hands on it, and it just drives them nuts.
Yeah, it's incredibly empowering technology, and I suppose that if we were honest, really, at the moment, it's probably even more efficient than the internet, because by the time the page loads for the next story, and you've even on a good screen reader, you've hit your key to advance past the list of rubbish at the top to the actual article, that would still take a lot longer than just hitting the key to jump to the next article on the telephone reader.
Right, because once you, in our case, we use the 3 key to skip to the next article. You press that 3 key, it's instant. You're on the next article. There's no delay, no hesitation at all.
You're listening to ACB Radio Mainstream. It's Blind Line, and my guest is Steve Bauer, and we say good evening to a caller who is mysterious and unknown. Hello there.
Hello, Jonathan, and hello, Steve. This is Matt Campbell, also from Wichita, as you know.
Yes, good evening, Matt.
Good evening. Wondering if you have a web page now, or if you'd still like me to work on one, since I know we talked about that a couple months back.
Well, the answer is yes and yes. We have a web page that has not been updated for a while, and that's my fault. I just haven't had time to do it. We need to work on that. Interestingly enough, very few of our users are on the internet. When we began the
service, I suppose if they were on the internet, they might be reading a lot of this stuff online.
Right. When we offered our material, when we first started, I offered it in 4 formats when we sent it out, in Braille, large print, and cassette, and disc. And so many people thought I was talking about the flexible disc that talking books used to come on. I had to drop the disc option because it was just way too confusing.
That's interesting. I would have never thought of that, but and I've been using computers for several years.
Well, that's, you know, I didn't think of it either. I thought, hey, offered on disc, that'd be pretty cool. But there, the people, what do I do with this thing? I don't have a computer. Well, why did you mark disc? Well, I thought it was one of those talking book ones. So just to save confusion, we dropped it. Now we're back to 3 formats. But if someone specifically said, hey, can you send it to me on disk or by email? Sure, it's no problem. In fact, we do a newsletter, a monthly newsletter, a little short newsletter that I write. And we have it read on the telephone reader service, and we send it out via email. We don't print it.
Yeah, so was that?
Yeah, I might have to sign up for that.
Okay. I think you're already signed up, Matt. I can verify that and send you.
Oh, I'm sure my email address has changed since I first heard about it 2 years ago.
Well, that'd be
okay.
Excellent.
Well, you can. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for phoning in, Matt, and sounds like you've still got a bit of a job there working on a web page.
Well, I haven't actually done anything with it yet. Steve emailed me a couple months ago when he finally found out that Matt Campbell in Wichita was on ACB Radio, and found my email address that way, and asked if I knew how to do HTML and make web pages, and got offered to work on one, but we haven't gotten started on anything yet.
You know, it must be a real sort of challenge to just walk through a supermarket and say something, and then people come up and say, "Oh my gosh, I know that voice! It's Matt Campbell." You know, I can really feel for what you're going through.
Voice recognition, Jonathan, is really interesting because for the bank that I work at, I am the voice on the automated banking system where people call in to get the information from their accounts. So I get to tell my wife every day how little money we have.
That is, well, I've never experienced anything quite like being in the elevators at the ACB convention. And you only needed to say something really innocent and somebody knew who it was. I suppose it's the accent that does it. Well, thank you very much for phoning in, Matt, and we'll look forward to another look at Linux on this week's main menu, by the way, as well.
Okay, and to give a little preview, I will start telling people about how to install the Debian Linux distribution. And so I'll be recording that off of the tape onto the computer tomorrow night, probably.
Why is it called Debian Linux?
sorry to get you off the interview here. but the reason it's called Debian is because the founder of the distribution was Ian Murdoch, and his wife was named Deb, so he named it after his wife and himself.
Oh, that's beautiful. They're not divorced or anything now, I take it.
No, in fact, they recently had their first baby. Forgot whether it was a boy or a girl, but I read an interview with him recently, and so he's now a father.
What did they call it? Child process or something?
I don't know.
Okay. We have to find out. That'd be a good Trivial Pursuit question. What's the founders of Debian Linux baby called? Anyway, we'll look forward to that. And
I do remember now. It is a girl, and her name is Reagan.
Her name is what?
Reagan.
I thought that's what you said. Is that a girl's name in America?
I guess so.
Yeah,
I
think it really matters.
A little surprised as well.
It doesn't really matter anymore. They call them anything.
Okay, well,
I'll let you get back to your interview.
Oh, that's really kind of you, and thanks for calling.
All right.
Okay, bye now.
See you later.
There you go. It's always good to hear from Matt, and he's a very talented young man, actually. He's incredibly skilled with his computing stuff, so I'm sure you do a good job of your web page, Steve.
Well, like I say, when you work a full-time job, and I probably put 10 to 15 hours of administrative work just on the system every week, plus I'm hooked on reading. I read a lot on the system. Strangely enough, I don't even read everything I put on the system. I don't have time. But I'm one of the heavy users because I thoroughly enjoy reading the newspaper and other publications and keeping up with things. So it's just a matter of time.
Well, we are just about at the end of our chat with Steve, but if you'd like to get in a last question, you're welcome to do that. The number is in the United States, area code 212-812-2800. That's area code 212-812-2800, and then, excuse me, enter the PIN 0480-5512. That PIN is 0480-5512, thanks to spiderphone.com for providing these services to us. So you mentioned that people have to fill in a form in order to verify their print disability, which is understandable given the copyright issues involved. How do people get a hold of that form?
They can contact us by telephone and or email. Oh. The telephone number is area code 316-337-7701. That's 316-337-7701. Leave your name, address, and phone number on the voicemail, and we will respond to that. We do not staff our office, although I'm in there at least once a day, but we don't staff the office because it's just a big closet, so to speak, where all the equipment is. The email address you can use to request a form or more information is accessnow, also all one word, accessnow, accessnow at southwind.net. That's accessnow at southwind.net.
Well, the time has flown by, and I really appreciate you giving up an hour of your time to be on the show. The demo was really impressive, and I certainly urge people who are in your area and aren't on yet to contact the organization by any of those means, because it really does sound brilliant. And I wish you every success for the future, and as you expand, keep us in mind and keep us informed as to what you're up to.
Okay, I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Telephone Reader. It's something that is very important to me. I spend a lot of time on it, and meticulous in things that, little things that most people don't think about. And again, let me give you that web page again. If you want to learn more about the system, is www.telephonereader.com. And that is the website that is run by the people who actually write the software. And they can provide you with all of the information that that you would need as far as system requirements, cost, etc. And if you're wanting to start a service like this, the first thing to do is to put a plan together, decide what you want to do, and then work with your local newspaper or other publications you want to work with and have on the system, get their consent and their willingness to participate, and go to work and put it together and get your fundraising in place. I will say that our local newspaper, it kind of bothered me because it took so long to get a meeting together. It took several months to get a meeting to go present this idea to them to get their agreement to participate. And once this meeting was together, they called me and told me, and they said, now, the publisher is allowing 1 hour for this meeting. He does not stay any longer. At the end of 1 hour, he's walking out whether you're finished or not. About halfway into that hour, there was some sidebar discussions in the room, and it was the publisher talking to one of his head people, and he interrupted us, and he said, I think this is a hell of an idea. Let's do it. We didn't even have to finish our presentation. So that was a way to get started, and it made us feel pretty good.
Well, that's tremendous. And I presume that there are certain issues to do with the type of format that the information has to be in order to be readable by the telephone reader software, so you'd have to have some technical knowledge of what's involved there?
Right, and this is part of the my programmer. His name is Steve Nomer. He's a blind guy here in town, and that's what he does. He works on the program that takes the files from the newspaper that are on their FTP site that we get every morning and basically cleans them up. They have a header. Each file has a header that has a lot of information such as page number, section, published date, keywords, various things that we use to determine where they go in the paper, whether they're a local and state, an editorial, or a sports article, or whatever. And so we have this program that Steve has written that goes in and cleans up the file and gets rid of all the garbage so that hopefully by the time the listener hears it, they don't hear anything funny. Once in a while, something might slip in. But we've got it pretty well down to a good science, and we work at putting the articles together. For example, if there's an article about a court case, and then there's a sidebar about the judge, a little tiny box. Well, we try to put that article with the article on the court case. So unlike other systems where it doesn't matter what order the articles are in, you may get the sidebar to the article five or six articles later, we try to put them together. Now, we don't always succeed, but we try to get them together.
Excellent. It sounds like a tremendous service, and I wish you all the best for the future, and I'm sure that we'll talk again. Thanks for taking the time to be on the show today.
Thanks a lot, Jonathan. Good luck, and keep up the good work with ACB Radio, and maybe if the gods are shining on me right, I'll have a program ready to go for ACB Radio Interactive before the end of the year.
Well, we'll look forward to that. We really will. We'll look forward to hearing from you soon.
Okay, thanks
okay.
a lot.
Bye now. That's Steve Bauer talking to us about the telephone reader in Wichita, Kansas. This is ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Jonathan Mosen, and we're struggling through Blind Line for another day. I've got this ridiculous cough, but I hope you'll bear with me and that you'll participate now in what is our open forum section for the next little while. Haven't been live for a couple of weeks, so there may be a build-up of issues that you want to talk about, some that I'll throw into the melting pot. Well, I'll talk to you about those in a minute, but if you'd like to get in touch, a reminder of the phone number to raise any subject you like. It's area code 212-812-2800. It's area code 212-812-2800, and then enter the PIN 0480-5512. That PIN 0480-5512. And one of the things you might want to comment on before we even get onto that, we've got a call already, so I don't need to even throw anything into the melting pot. Hello, area code 337.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Marvin, you sound like you've got a cough as well.
No, I had I have a nasty habit of smoking, and I had smoke go up my nose.
That is a really nasty habit. And you're just about to head off to the seeing eye for that new doggy of yours.
Yes, sir. I head that way on Saturday.
Oh, that's exciting. So that means you're going to be absent with leave from the Marvin Rush Country Show.
Oh, that's right. In fact, I'm in the midst of making a little promo that Steve can play, that's going to tell everybody that I'm absent, and Steve and everything will be in the capable hands of Steve Metzera.
Very steady, sturdy, capable hands they are too, I'm sure. So how long does a seeing eye thing take?
3 weeks.
And does it take the same irrespective of whether it's your first dog or a replacement dog?
No, when you go for your first dog, you stay 28 days, and that extra week is some specialized things. For example, they take you to a regular restaurant and do a bit more work inside stores, malls, and things like that, and even specialty work that you think that you might do more of. For example, myself, the last probably week that I'm there will be spent doing mostly country work, which is work. When you work on streets which do not have sidewalks, you walk along the side of the street. And that's what we have mostly in Leesville, so I want to concentrate on that.
Yeah, that's what we have outside our house, too, where we're living now. No, what we call a footpath or pavement. No, it's all grass outside.
Right, and so that's what I concentrate on my last few weeks, because where I live, the instances of sidewalks are pretty far and few between, except for at my work, which I go to several schools, we have sidewalks there, you know.
And do you know all about your new dog at this stage, like what kind of dog it is and what its name is, those sorts of things?
No, I have no idea. Just sort of what happens when you get there. Of course, you get there and you have the evening to settle in, and they have a little orientation meeting where they talk about the rules of the house and those types of things. And the trainer, whichever trainer you're assigned to, you will take a little walk around the building. The next morning, they actually take you into town, and you go on a little Juno walk with a trainer so that they can figure out what kind of pace you walk at. They talk to you about what you do for an occupation. They talk to you about even whether you have strange pets in your house. You know, some people may have snakes. In fact, I know a man in Kentucky who has 20-something snakes.
Wow. You'd think your eggs were frying, wouldn't you? But it's just the snakes.
Well, I told him that I bet you that his house guests, he didn't have very many house guests.
I'm not surprised. that's a very different process from what we do here then, because here at the guide dog school where we are, they have a situation where you do all that stuff with the trainer to assess your walking pace and your work environment and your temperament. Then you get put on the waiting list and they sort of keep a record of all of those things, and only when they have a dog that matches what they believe to be your needs and characteristics do they call you up.
Right. Well, here, I mean, that's the way it's, and then, of course, that afternoon, what happens after you get through with your walks in town, you go have lunch, and the trainers have a meeting after that's over, and they then assign you dogs from, not only their string, I mean, you may get a dog that's trained by another trainer that happens to be in class, you know. So their selection of dogs is pretty wide.
So how do you feel about it?
I'm ready. I'm tired of bruised shins.
Yeah. Well, so you've been a dog handler for a wee while then?
This will be my fifth dog, and I got my first dog exactly 20 years ago, and I have had a dog in my house and at my side for the last 20 years. Up until I had to retire the Brady dog.
Okay. And you've obviously got a strong preference for being a dog handler over being a cane user.
Definitely. I mean, in fact, I am a good cane user. In fact, I would not be afraid to go anywhere with a cane. In fact, I believe one of the things that you should do to become a good dog handler is to be a very capable cane user.
Yeah, I mean, you never know when that dog's going to be put out of action or whatever. And, of course, a lot of people are under this misconception, not necessarily blind people too much, but a lot of sizes of people are under this misconception that somehow the dog is taking you somewhere, whereas really you're still being the navigator.
Yeah, and you get a lot of really funny things. In fact, my parents and I were in a buffet-type restaurant. We were waiting in line one evening, and a lady said, how does that dog know what color the lights are and all that thing? And I said, oh, he barks once for red and twice for green, and he's going to read me the menu here in a little bit. And she says, really?
it's amazing. Yes. One shouldn't have them on like that. I'm not even sure if that's what you rang up to talk about, so I should make sure that you actually get to say what you rang up to say.
Well, I did want to. That was one thing I wanted to talk about. And the newspaper, the phone reading service, really interested me because we do not have access to the local papers here. In fact, probably I can think of three blind people in this area, so, you know, we are a definite minority.
I suppose, though, at least in your situation, you've got the web and all that wealth of information there, but then again, is the local newspaper on the web, though?
No, well, I'll give you this, yes and no. Because
you guys have been watching too many presidential debates, you can't give me a straight answer.
No, what it is, there's a place that you can go and view the headlines and sort of the top local story, and that's all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's not really the kind of information access that you want, but yeah, it's a good service, and I was very impressed with this demo, and I definitely want to check out that telephonereader.com site and learn more about the software.
Right, because, you know, if the local papers would do something, do something like that here, that would be, I mean, we could cover the surrounding area. There are like three main papers, because the one here in town, I mean, being a small town, it's a small newspaper, so you could, you know, light it on fire and have it read before it burns up.
What an interesting concept. Could be on for Halloween. Now, what was I going to ask you? Yeah, you're going to have web access at the Seeing Eye.
Yes.
So, does that mean you'll be able to give us a call next week and tell us about your new dog?
I will do my dead level best. The gentleman who is over the Technology Center, Dave Liu, is a very good friend of mine. And every time I come down, he puts me to work. And one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to set up, if I have my way about it, Winamp and some PLS files for ACB Radio and ACB Radio Interactive, and we're going to work on getting access to some of the voice programs, both the PC to phone programs and the things like Hear Me and Fire Talk and those things like that, so that when people come to Seeing Eye, they'll have the chance to play with those things and see what they're all about.
Well, that's a hoot, and I hope that you'll be able to do that and that we'll be able to speak with your dog next week and find out exactly what the poor thing's been put through getting to know you. Don't blow smoke in its face. And I wish you all the best of luck. I hope it goes well, and I hope we can keep tabs on how you're getting on.
Oh, it'll go great, and it'll be fun, as much fun to do all the installations, because they have a T1 in the building, so,
oh, man.
I mean, I'll have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah, you certainly will. Well, have a good one, man, and we'll keep in touch.
Okay.
See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Blind Line on ACB Radio Mainstream. Hello there.
Hi, Jonathan. It's Brian Hartchin.
Brian, how are you doing this early morning in the UK?
Okay, how are you?
I'm just fine, thanks, apart from the cough, but we won't go there.
Okay. I was just sitting here listening to the programme. I was totally amazed at what seemed like the slow process of the Seeing Eye service in the US, because here in the UK we adopt a very client-centred approach, and it seems to work on this is in relation to guide dogs, obviously.
Mm.
And it seems to work in a very similar way to what you're describing, in that you're actually assessed for a dog way in advance, and then you actually go on a waiting list. But perhaps more importantly from my point of view, or equally importantly, it certainly doesn't take 4 weeks for the training process. When I went for my last dog, I was tearing my hair out at the centre after a few days. So fortunately, I lived local enough to go home a couple of evenings. But even then, I was only actually there at the training centre for 10 days. It's becoming less here of a boarding school, institutionalised atmosphere, and more domiciliary based.
Yes, well, that's what's happening here too, Brian. I was interested in what Marvin had to say, because unless I'm missing something, it sounds like what goes on is that you get there and then you have this assessment and then you just sort of get the best out of what could be a bad bunch for you. I mean, there's obviously a pool of dogs there at any one time, and they give you what they think is the most appropriate dog, whereas what happens in our situation, and it sounds like in yours too, is that you go on the waiting list and then you wait until the very best dog for your situation is there, and then they call you up, as it were.
That's absolutely right, because obviously, as you'll appreciate, there's all sorts of things that need to be taken into account, such as your working environment and all the rest of it.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I guess it's just a different strokes and all those sorts of things, but we have a very domiciliary type of focus, and I don't think many people do the residential thing at all now. All the training is done at your home, and the instructor comes to you, and so that way you don't have to worry about the foreign environment.
That's right. Is that David?
No, it's Richard. And Heidi, can you please let him out and go back into the house, please? Yeah, sorry about that. We'll get it sorted out shortly.
That's okay.
Yeah. So how long have you been a guide dog user for?
I've had two dogs. The first one didn't work out too well, but the one I've got now, I've had her for about 9 months now.
Okay, so it was just not an appropriate match.
For a variety of reasons, really, but he was actually very aggressive towards other dogs. And obviously when you're walking along, that's a very difficult situation to contend with, particularly when you're out a lot every day, as I am. So it's just one of those things that didn't work.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But it does happen from time to time. Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I appreciate you giving us a call. Are you able to take the time to tell us what's on InfoTech in the next 24 hours or so?
I will, yeah. We're focusing on quite a few smaller items this time. It's not normally the way we go, but this time we are. And I'll be talking, for example, about Sound Computing magazine, which is produced in the States by Dean Martineau. Quite a few people may have heard of it, but I highly rate it. I think it's an excellent magazine, and we have one or two extracts of that. And I'll also be talking about my new internet tutorial, which will actually be out within the next few weeks or so.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Oh, okay. I guess we'll just have to tune in and hear all the details, won't we? No point in spoiling it now.
Absolutely, but I have publicised it a little bit on one or two of the mailing lists over here, and it is we've got quite a few advanced orders, I believe, because it's going to cover quite a wide spectrum of using the internet, but the most difficult thing really has not to be too screen reader specific, and it's very difficult not to be able to do that, really.
Well, that's true, because when you get into WindowEyes, you've got MSAA mode, JFW's got the virtual cursor, and they all have such almost proprietary interfaces these days.
That's right, but what I've concentrated on really is some of the theory behind some of these concepts. For example, some people who are getting used to the internet, and that's what it's all about, obviously, that they might not know perhaps what the concept of downloading is all about. They may never have done an install. They may never have installed a piece of software, so we go through that. And obviously looking at audio and ACB radio, and there's a little bit of a sample of your Beatles program in there, actually, from last Sunday on Interactive.
Oh, that's very good. Well, I hope it was not one of the bits where we sort of lost it.
No.
Goodness me. Oh, nice to know you're a man of culture. Well, we'll look forward to InfoTech at 1 o'clock Universal on Friday. And actually, ACB radio programming on mainstream is going to be radically altered shortly with a whole lot of new times for programs. But InfoTech stays exactly where it is, you'll be pleased to hear.
Oh, well, that's really good, because I've got used to putting it up way in advance now. So.
Well, have a good morning, and we'll look forward to hearing the program.
Okay, thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks, Brian. Bye now.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
This is ACB Radio Mainstream. Hi, this is Blindline.
Hello, Jonathan. How are you this evening?
Oh, good. We've got a huge delay on this line, Richard, but never mind. We'll do our best to cope with it.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's all right. Are you
just about your about your comment about our guide. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I was just saying, are you using dial pad or something?
I should say about our guide dog. Yes, I am using dial pad.
Okay, you go ahead. Anyway, you were talking about guide dog schools.
Yeah, I guess we're having trouble, huh?
It's just a huge delay, so I won't say much. I'll just let you say your piece and then
you
cut
like
you off.
Gee, what a French fart. Just two comments. One thing about your comment that you were talking about the guidebook schools here is that actually it can work both ways. I can remember when I was first getting my first dog is that, yes, they did come to my house and they did evaluate me. As a matter of fact, they sent out several forms to several different people to get a background of how I am around animals and dogs and things like that. So I think it also depends on the guide dog school. It can work either way where they take you in and then they evaluate you the day or so before you actually set you up with a dog, or they can do it in advance. It depends on the school, and I'm sure each school is a little different as far as that goes.
Yeah, okay. And what was your other comment?
The other comment was your interview that you did with the gentleman, the president of Live 365. And it was actually in your frustration that happened tonight as far as your problem with being able to change the from your EasyCast to your live stream. And I was surprised that you really kind of didn't home him on that problem as to, you know, because it seems like they still haven't come up with any kind of a solution for that problem.
No, I guess there's a few things that they haven't come up with a solution about, and that was one of the topics I was going to raise for discussion today, is whether people have any view on what Live 365 has decided to do in the light of the main menu interview. I think there was a lot of uninformed comment on lists before the interview, but I noticed that after it, the comment seems to have died right down, so I don't know whether that means that the majority of people are happy with what Live 365 is suggesting or not.
Well, actually, I thought he was quite, I thought the man was quite reasonable. I didn't have really much to complain because he said from the get-go that Live 365 was going to do commercials. It just was a question of when it was going to happen, not if. So I don't think too many people can complain about that. And it seems like they are trying to work things out as far as the live stream goes. So I think it's just a matter of just time will sort things out.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be interesting to hear what others think about that, and I'm pleased you raised it because it was something I intended to drop in. I better let you go, Richard, because we've got a huge delay here. It's like talking between the Earth and Jupiter. But I appreciate you giving us a call, and we'll talk again, I'm sure. That's Richard Costa, believe it or not. He's only calling from New York, but that's the joys of internet telephony. The border's free, so if you've been waiting to give us a call until you could get straight through, now is the time to do that, courtesy of spiderphone.com. My number is 212-812-2800. That's a New York number, 212-812-2800. And when you're asked, courtesy of spiderphone.com, to enter a PIN, you should enter 0480-5512. That PIN 0480-5512. And we have another call on the line from area code 336. Good evening.
Hi, John. This is Jeff from North Carolina.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good after the last evening or so, but yeah, I'm doing good.
Excellent. You're looking well, too.
Yeah. Actually, a couple of things I wanted to discuss tonight. First of all, I'm having a real problem with Hear Me on my computer. I think we had this conversation before, but I can't honestly remember.
Have you tried uninstalling the Hear Me plugin and starting all over again?
I'm kind of doing that. excuse me there. I went to my temporary internet files folder and tried to, like, deleting all the stuff from it, and I even tried deleting the folder. I even tried going to the registry, and it deleted all the files containing Hear Me, but it didn't help anything.
Oh man, it's a pretty scary place, that registry too. Well, I don't know. Have you tried dropping an email to support@hearme.com and see if they can come up with anything?
Yeah, I have. All that I've ever gotten from them is an automated response and, what else was it? Oh yeah, a little thing that says, well, we're sorry to hear about your problem, but check out our FAQ section on our website. And I said, well, I did that. But it never... actually tells you how to, like, go about uninstalling it and reinstalling it, but I don't know. I mean, could it be possible that you have to reinstall Windows or something?
Well, I mean, that's certainly one sure way of fixing it. But that's a bit of a major step. I mean, what actually happened when... What was wrong with the plugin?
Some reason, I don't believe it's downloaded all the way or something like that, because the first time... Oh, man. That was like a couple years back. Like in 99 or something. The first time that I went to download the Hear Me plugin, you know, that out of sight thing, I checked the status and it started downloading, and then I guess for some reason when it asked me to accept the license agreement or something, I screwed up something along the line there, because it hasn't worked since.
That's a real bother. I mean, I don't know specifically what to suggest, because you've presumably checked out the FAQ, so I don't know. I guess the only answer I can suggest is use Lipstream.
Lipstream.
Which is not very helpful.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you're planning on upgrading to Millennium, what you could do is try and back everything up if you have something to back it up onto, and then install a nice clean version of Windows and go from there. But as I say, it's sort of like cracking a nut with a sledgehammer, but I expect it would fix the problem.
There was something else I was going to talk about, but I can't remember what it was.
I hate that. I really hate that. What do you think of the Live 365 business?
Oh, thank you.
I knew that was what you wanted to talk about, you see?
About the Live 365 thing, I believe it's like, terribly injustice that they will, like, I mean, I don't have any problem with an ad at, like, the beginning of the stream. If it's like 15 or 30 seconds, but if it's going to be placed in the middle of a stream, then I got a problem with it. I mean, if I can control the ad, I don't have any trouble. But if they're going to just drop an ad whenever they darn well feel like it, then I got a problem.
Did you hear the interview on Main Menu?
Very long, very boring.
Well,
in some parts, but
they made the comment there that. That they weren't going to do that. That they were going to put ads, in midstream at some point, but they weren't going to do it in such a way that it interrupted songs or anything like that. It would be between MP3 files or something like that. So it may have been boring, but it sounds like you might have missed that point.
Actually, I was just kind of kidding about that. It wasn't boring. If they're gonna let us have control over the ad, does that mean we're going to be able to download an MP3 and play it as our leisure?
They never really
specified how they're going to do that.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of the Live365 forums. That's one of the things that they've been talking about, that you'd be able to, for people using a mixer, you'd be able to download the MP3 files and sign an agreement, a legally binding agreement that says that you will play so many ads at certain times, but then through the livecast program, they will be able to quite easily just say, okay, here's an ad coming up, and you'll just have to sit there while it plays. So I think the solution that they offer would depend on the broadcasting tools that you use.
I guess so. I guess that's how it'll work.
Yep. It sure will. I just got a couple of calls backed up, so I better get to them before I have to shut up shop for afternoon tea. I appreciate you calling, and good luck with the Hear Me, man. I hope you find a solution to that.
Yes, and good luck with that, and yes, good luck with Sunday too.
Absolutely. Well, hear you then.
Are you going to be monitoring that?
My son is actually going to have grommets that day. It's Monday my time, so I won't be listening live. But you know, that doesn't mean I won't be listening.
All right, I'll just send you the archive then.
Oh, sounds good. Look forward to that, and have a cool weekend.
Yeah. You too.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye now. Bye. ACB Radio Bye. Mainstream, hi to area code 501.
Well, Noel again, the one-handed DJ.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to thank the people that have responded to me about the guide dog issue going to Australia.
Well, it's nice to know that people will respond in those situations. So are you definitely off to Australia at this point?
Not definitely. But we're getting very close to making a decision. I should know within the month whether or not that will happen. Have to do some blood tests and examinations of that type to get the dog in. But by that time, that's a pretty long process. But the people in Australia that are dealing with accessibility, as far as the laws and can they accommodate me, we're still making sure that can be done.
How very exciting. So it'll be Noel's Celtic sauce coming from down under. What are you actually going down there to do?
To study chemical engineering at the University of Newcastle in New South Wales.
Why?
Because I was given the opportunity to do that. Our universities are forming a partnership, and I'm not only going to be pioneering that, but kind of pioneering the thing where, disabled people or visually impaired people, I might be able to give more insight as to can people who are blind do study abroad, because I think it's a very, very neat experience that people should be able to see. And whether or not you're studying chemical engineering or computer science or something, you can only experience culture by going there. And that's why I'd like to go, to experience the culture and also to have 3 winters in a row. So I would be having the U.S. winter and then the Australian winter and then the U.S. winter again. So that's another plus, because I love winter.
If my friends across the Tasman will bear with me, do you know what the difference is between Australia and yogurt?
No.
The yogurt's got culture. I shouldn't do that. Well, there are lots of New Zealand jokes. I'm sure that David will tell some on Saturday night, no doubt, on ACB Radio Interactive. So I'm interested that, I mean, chemical engineering is an interesting thing to be doing. What are you hoping that will lead to as a profession?
Well, usually what chemical engineers do is work in chemical plants. I might do what's called process modeling, or as you say, process modeling, which means modeling different chemical processes as far as making, for instance, I could be making aspirin or something like that, or refining oil. But as far as I can tell, and please tell me if there are any other chemical engineers out there that are blind, I will be the first one. And it's real hard being the first to do something like that because there's nobody to ask. And that's why I'm always searching for somebody that's doing the engineering. It's a real hard degree, and I'm going to make it through.
I'm sure. Good on you. And it also must be, while it's hard, it must be quite exciting being a trailblazer as well, though.
Yes. It's also frustrating. Going through organic chemistry right now, and there's just diagram after diagram, and it's pretty difficult to tell the professors and have them understand that seeing something on the page as it is drawn is a little bit different than you are seeing it, you know, with your eyes as far as the three-dimensional, because the organic chemistry is very three-dimensional.
Well, I really think that's an exciting prospect that you'll be coming down under, perhaps, and keep us posted on that. And we'll look forward to your Celtic sauce over the weekend at 1200 Universal Time on Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah, 12 to 1600, I'll be bringing you some Celtic music, and if I do go down there, there'll probably be a month there where, you know, I'm getting set up, but, and I'll probably want to change my time, because I don't think I'll be staying up that late to do the old Celtic source, but it'll...
Oh man, it's only 10 till 10 at night till 2 in the morning on a Saturday night. I think that's quite reasonable, you know?
Well... You never know. You never know what I can do. I can type with one hand. I suppose I can do 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. You never know.
And at least you'll get some decent beer down there. I mean, not quite as good as New... Well, you can probably get
some
New Zealand...
True.
You can probably get some New Zealand beer from over there.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably, but you never know. On the University of Newcastle I'll let you go after this comment, but... On the University of Newcastle campus, they have 5 pubs on campus, so I'm sure that one of them has New Zealand beer.
Absolutely fair dinkum cracker, Bruce. But we'll look forward to keeping up to date with your progress, and I hope it all works out.
Okay, thank you, Jonathan, for taking my call.
It's always a pleasure. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Now, from area code 501, we go to area code 502. Hello.
Hi, Jonathan. It's my pleasure to speak with you. This is Will Smith, our first time talking on the air, and I love the show.
Well, thank you. It's really good to hear your voice. Does that mean that, given that your area code 502 and that Noel was 501, does that mean you live next door to Noel?
Afraid not. We're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, and you're familiar with us. You were visiting here back a few months ago.
Oh, it was glorious. I just remember that whole time with such incredible fondness. Everybody was so kind, and the weather was great, and, yeah, wonderful place.
Well, I'm glad you liked it, and I wish I'd been around for the convention. I was out of town at that point for some of the time, so I missed most of it. But I'm glad you got a chance to see Kentucky and enjoy a lot of... fine hospitality, I hope, while you were here.
I did. I got to see the inside of the Gold House, and to be honest, it's about all, but everybody was so hospitable, and I did manage to have a bit of an induction into the world of the Kentucky bourbons, and found it a bit difficult to distinguish one from another, but people tell me that came with practice.
I think the practice is the key right there. Also wanted to talk about I also want to talk about Steve Barr. I enjoyed his comments about the work there in Wichita. I'm one of the compilers who puts together a very similar service. I think it's the same software here in Louisville. And what I do is I go out and get 30 to 60 stories from the local and Lexington area newspapers, trim out the footers and headers, and send that along to the machine each morning between 6 and 8.
That's right, and you use links to do it.
That's right. That's right. So I like this new technology, but boy, I've got a long way to go to catch up with some of you audio wizards. There's a lot going on out there.
And gosh, her name escapes me. That's ridiculous.
Will.
The lady from Louisville who's involved at the ACB. Is she the president of the affiliate?
Carla. I'm dropping her last name myself.
You can't. That's
I know it's Carla. I'll think of her last name in a second.
And she's involved in the telephone reader there too, isn't she?
That's right. That's right.
I'm terribly sorry. I just had a meeting.
And of Microtalk.
So he's involved in it as well.
That's right. He does a lot with the setting up the NT machine and keeping it going.
And how long
it's
have
a wonderful
you been...
project, and I'm glad there's other people. Glad there's other people using it. I'm having a hard time getting used to the delay here, but it's fascinating. We can kind of circle the globe this way to have a conversation.
The reason why there's the delay is because I'm actually using MSN Messenger so that it doesn't actually cost ACB Radio anything for me to be connected. I'm working on alternatives, though, because very shortly our studio will be finished, the new studio that we've been building in the out-of-sight building, and that's going to have some really exciting new gear, and I'm hoping that we can bypass the MSN Messenger. It really does a good job, but the delay is a bit of a nuisance.
Right. I wonder if you had a chance to take a look and actually use the full release of the GW Micro WindowEyes 4.0.
All I have at the moment is Beta 6. I have ordered my 4.0, but it hasn't arrived yet. I guess they've got a few orders to catch up on, and then it's got to come from there to New Zealand. as I understand it, you have to have the CD. You can't just download it like you might have been able to download previous releases.
That's right. I'm getting ready to order my copy and hope it works real well. I'm glad the release is finally out the door, and also wonder if you could tell me a little bit about your tutorial and if you are program specific to either JAWS or WindowEyes with that.
Plug. Well, since you ask, it's designed in such a way, it does make some references to JAWS for Windows, but only in specific places. And you see, JAWS does have scripts for SoundForge, and therefore there are specific JAWS commands that do need to be talked about, only because, to my knowledge, it's the only screen reader that does have configuration files specifically for SoundForge. But I do make it very clear on the few occasions that I talk about the JAWS commands when I'm talking about them. The rest, you're absolutely going to have sense made of it if you're a WindowEyes user. It will be perfectly useful.
Well, that's good to hear, and I'll look forward to getting a copy of that sometime soon, too. I gather this is for the full version of SoundForge, or would it have some applicability to the more limited version?
It works for both SoundForge XP and SoundForge. So the idea is that there'll be some people who may have got SoundForge XP, let's say with their SoundBlaster Live card. certain versions of that come with that as a bundle. And so you can start off with XP, and I do make reference to the commands in XP and in the full version, so that if you decide to upgrade, the tutorial will be useful no matter which version of SoundForge you're using.
Well, that's great. Well, I enjoyed the program. I just wanted to jump in and say hello to everybody and keep up the good work. I enjoy Brian Hartson's program and yours and all the other people who do a great job here keeping the programming interesting and coming all week long.
Well, thanks. Well, I really appreciate it. It's good to hear your voice, and we always enjoy hearing from a first-time caller, so I hope you'll call again.
Will do. Thank you.
Thanks, Will. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And we have one last call. Area code 706. Hello to you.
Well, good evening, Jonathan. This is Joe Norton here in Dalton, Georgia.
Oh, nice to hear from you. I thought it might be you, because you sort of tend to call at the 11th hour, so to speak.
Yeah, you might say that. since I just get in usually at the tail end of the program, I got in about 10 o'clock, and I was waiting to see what was going on in the open forum. Thought of something you might do if you ever run out of a subject to cover on Blind Line. There's a fellow that does a talk show here locally that once in a while he'll get into a discussion about different things. He'll pick a topic. For example, one thing you might try one of these days is, it seemed like a good idea.
Yes. Yes, I can think of a number of... that's a great... We did try one a few weeks ago like that. We talked about most embarrassing moments, and the most embarrassing thing that happened was that show basically completely fell over. But I agree, those sorts of theme things are really interesting, and we should try more of those. Blind Line's moving to a new time in a couple of weeks, so maybe we can launch it with something exciting.
Are you at liberty to say what time it's moving to?
Yeah. What's happening is that due to other circumstances, we have to change the days on which some shows appear. So Blind Line will be on a Sunday evening, starting the week after this coming one. Sunday evening US time from 8 till 10, because bear in mind the clocks are going back, so everything's an hour earlier. And Main Menu's moving to Tuesday night from 8 till 10.
That's actually better for me. I might be able to actually listen to a complete Blind Line for a change.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say that I have downloaded the demo of WindowEyes 4, and I have Beta 6 going right now. I called GW Micro, and I said, well, how long do I have before the beta runs out? And she didn't get specific, but she seemed to think I would have enough time to work with it until I got my CD. So looking forward to that. My balance went down today, so maybe they've charged my credit card, or maybe they've charged my Visa with it, so it may be on the way anytime. So like you, I'm looking forward to receiving the actual CD. But the Eloquence works very well, I have to say that, in the demo.
Oh, okay, so you were able to get the Eloquence by downloading the demo.
The Eloquence is included in the demo. Now, I don't know whether it's timed or anything like that, but it I uninstalled the demo, and it left Eloquence sitting there as one of the Sappy engines, several voices. I don't know what names go with what languages, other than I know that Pilar is the Spanish version, various things of that, and then Grandma and Grandpa are the English ones, for one, among others. So, anyway, just thought I'd mention that. It is working fantastically. Both the I have used both the demo and beta 6, and they're working great. So looking forward to actually seeing the product in its final release.
Well, me too. I'm delighted with it, particularly on the internet. It zips along. It's very stable, and I think they ought to get top marks for the way they conducted the beta process. 6 public betas, and people feel included, and I think it's a really good process. The Braille support's cool. I am also totally rapt that they fixed the line pausing problem with the Sapi synthesizers. It makes it so much easier to read long passages of text now with the DeckTalk XS32 or Sapi synthesizers.
Yeah, I need to get DeckAccess32 one of these days, but I'm thinking of buying a copy of Windows 2000 to play with Narrator, but I don't. I need to get my priorities straight, I guess, there. So, anyway.
I thought you were a Linux man.
Oh, I like to play with anything. I've got DOS 3.3 around here, DOS 5. I've got DOS 6, a couple of versions of IBM DOS. I need to get the latest one, but I don't have it, PC DOS, that is. I've even played with QNX, but I had to get sighted assistance for that.
Oh, I'd forgotten all about that thing. Man, is it still going?
I guess it is, but it was weird to have, you just load this disk up in your machine, and provided you have enough memory, you load this one floppy up, and you can browse the internet and everything from the, without your hard drive even moving at all, so, it's good. One guy told me he used it because his hard drive was just gone on his machine, so while it was out of service, he used it.
Your conference is being extended.
Well, that's nice.
Oh, we're running out of time.
Well, that's all right. They're looking after us at Spiderphone. But yeah, we probably are. But that's that QNX thing, I'd completely forgotten about that. Well, I appreciate you rounding it off in your usual articulate fashion, and hopefully we'll hear more from you when Blindline shifts to the new time.
Oh, well, just keep in mind, I knew everything when I was a teenager.
I have often said the same thing. If I could I made the comment a couple of years ago.
I've forgotten most of it.
Exactly. If I could be president of the Association of Blind Citizens of New Zealand, which I am now, when I was 19, I would have been far more effective because I knew everything then.
Well, anyway, have a good afternoon, and to all the listeners here, have a good evening in whatever time of the time zone you're in. Anyway, take care.
Thanks, Joe. Catch you later.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye now. And that's Joe Norton, and he's rounding off our Blind Line program for this week. I would just like to mention to you that... why do I do this? I just want to mention to you that in North America, and I think Europe, the clocks go back this weekend, and that means that ACB Radio Mainstream programs start an hour earlier. As our clock, we use UTC, Coordinated Universal Time, and that does not have daylight saving and standard time. It's the same all year round. Therefore, if your clocks go back by 1 hour, your distance between you and Universal Time will increase by 1 hour. That means that programs that you used to hear at 9 o'clock Eastern Time will, as of Sunday, be at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. So just keep that in mind. We've publicized that on the ACB Radio announcement and friends lists, and... it will save missing something important that you want to hear. Thank you very much for your course. Thanks to Steve Bauer for being a part of the program today with his fascinating talk about the audio reader. And we'll look forward to joining you next week for what will be the last Blind Line at this time, but we will certainly be giving lots of publicity to new times for programs over the next week. Bye for now.